Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. Thunderstruck.
Yeah, thunderstruck.
Hey, what's up? It's the drive with Dan and Piper. Happy Friday, ESPN Radio 93.5. Who's that? Who's that voice? Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Man, you guys have had some nice weather here.
We have, yeah.
Beautiful today. I told Kyle, get out the.
You say that like someone that's not from here.
Right? Well, do we ever get this kind of weather, but more than like 2 days? I take out your small violins. It was warm in Chicago, in Florida. But I handled it. I handled it. I partied with the Ohio crew. I partied with the Indiana crew. Partied with the Florida crew. I mean, I got
all. Sounds like you just partied.
Sounds like that's all I did, right? It was all done in the pool, essentially. You had to be in the pool. I mean, the ocean is like bath temperature. It's crazy how warm it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice to get away and do nothing. I did watch your Bears-Packers game. I'm sorry to bring that up. Now you don't even have a defensive coordinator. What's going on there? I mean, what is going on? What started?
We're a laughing stock. We're a joke. I wanted to feel again. I don't want to feel anymore.
I was ticked off. I'm not going to lie to you. I was ticked off. I was watching it with some friends of mine from around here, the McGreenies, and they're Packers fans, at least Grandpa Bill is. And so I told him, I said, look, I don't care that much about the Packers or the Bears, but I'm tired of Green Bay being this good and having this many good quarterbacks, et cetera. I said, it's time for bad luck to hit you. And then all of a sudden, they come out and just smoke you guys. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head like, I don't know that I've ever pulled for the Bears harder that game only because of that. And I don't mean that I'm not a Bears fan. But I was just tired of watching the excellence of that is the Green Bay Packers, especially during the regular season. Frustrating.
I am as well, although we decided to be the third team that unsuccessfully did a tight end sneak. It didn't surprise anybody. On that opening drive that gave Jordan Love a short field and a touchdown early in the game, and I just need to watch another football game, I think, to get that bad taste out of my mouth. You're going to face Baker Mayfield and the Bucks this weekend. We can talk about some of those other games in the slate. I know you don't really care about your Arizona Cardinals.
No.
We did.
What the hell? They almost won.
I know.
The whole game.
Really would have messed up your vibe.
I'm like, what are you doing right now? I don't get this. I don't understand what we're doing. I'll tell you, Jeff Gannon teaches defense, and he teaches it well because there are a lot of no-name people on that defense for the Cardinals. And I know they were playing the Commanders, and you know that I'm sure that can hide a lot of stuff just playing them. But, man, they looked good. I mean, they were causing turnovers, scoring touchdowns. I mean, who knew if you had Arizona's defense, you'd rack up some points in fantasy. By the way, I lost my fantasy because of the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Thanks, Jones.
Phew.
Oh, and I haven't talked to you guys since the Kansas game.
We haven't even talked about that, have we?
Oh. We were down, what, 35-7?
34-7.
Okay, so
late third.
It did end up being a competitive game. Look at me. I just, here it is. I take over the show, of course, because I haven't talked in like 5 days. So we're down 34-7. So analogy me this with basketball. Would this be like Illinois plays, let's just say Kansas in a regular season game, and they're down 54-25 at half, and then they kind of make it a game late, yeah, like a fake rally? Is that kind of what it would be?
It was the John Gross at Indiana, right, where you go face those pretty darn good Indiana teams and be down like 25, close to 30 points in the second half. And by the time the game was over, you lost by 15 or 12 or whatever.
So it doesn't look horrible.
Correct.
Yeah, that was weird. That's weird what's going on. Now, I did say this, and tell me if you guys agree with this. And then you guys start talking because I'm done. So you've played a Toledo team that might be the best Toledo team they've ever had, arguably. At least top.
Oh, Tim Beckman's on the line. Can you answer that? I'm just kidding.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't run into him, by the way. So top five Toledo team of all time. In fact, I dare say probably top three if they run the table.
Okay.
And go 11-1.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fair.
Then you're playing a Kansas team that is as good of a Kansas team in over a decade. And let's be honest, that school hasn't exactly had a ton of good football. So this might be one of the top. If they do what we think they could do, this could be a top three Kansas team of all time. And now you're playing a Penn State team that this might be James Franklin's best Penn State team. Mm-hmm. While he's been in the Big Ten, which has been a while. So I'm not making excuses because I want to see more, especially from this defense, and we can get into that. But, man, you can't ask. And who help Florida Atlantic, this might be their best team ever. Now, you should still beat Florida Atlantic like you should beat Toledo. But it's just amazing. I mean, I knew that this was a really hard schedule. I didn't realize. I mean, we may get to Minnesota later in the year and be like, whew, finally. Slow team that can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was thinking of that today.
I think you're right on that on a number of fronts. And you look around the Big Ten and the fact that Ohio State's playing Youngstown State and their opener was at Indiana. And, yeah, it was a league game, but obviously you'd rather play them than going and facing Kansas. So
no doubt.
Some of these other schools in the Big Ten are getting some easy cupcakes. That's a fair point on even Penn State this upcoming weekend. Like the Trace McSorley, Saquon Barkley Penn State team was pretty darn good.
Yes, it was.
Last year, too, they won 11 games, went to a Rose Bowl and won it. But Sean Clifford was their quarterback. There was, as Kyle said, there was a ceiling on what Sean Clifford could be.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that Drew Aller can come in and elevate that a little bit more. But Kyle and I discussed this a little bit at the end of the show yesterday, and I framed it this way. I know there's been a lot of conversation about catching these teams at the wrong time, like in terms of when you schedule them in the non-conference, then they pop up and they're as good as they've been in a while, which is fair, which in football, it's a counting game.
Right.
Versus in basketball, it's usually a resume, like a quad one. We want a game that really looks like a signature win on a resume. You don't think about that as often in football, especially if you're just trying to make a bowl game and trying to get to 7-8 wins, whatever it may be.
Would agree.
But I did say that my argument was, I'm glad that Kansas was good because I wanted to watch that game.
That's a good point.
It's Illinois' fault.
Right.
That they got completely thrashed throughout the majority of that game. It says more about Illinois than it says about Kansas.
Fair.
That was an opportunity for Illinois to win a game or be competitive in a game that actually mattered. And I want to see those games as a fan. And then also, if you're going to say, hey, we want to take the step to be Wisconsin, we want to take the step to be Iowa.
Yes.
Then you got to – you got to raise up and not try to gimmick this thing. Like, let's play UConn and let's play Eastern Illinois let's get our wins that way. So that's the way I look at it.
I like what you're saying. And I like this more now that we've gotten a taste of a nice bowl game. And here's what I mean by that. We got that taste of the ReliaQuest, and it was awesome, right? It was great. I was personally able to go down to one of my favorite spots in the world and watch that game and get a chance to see it. Was able to take Andrew, who had never been to a bowl game. That all of that was great, and yet some of the best players sat that out for Illinois. And in the end, that ReliaQuest Bowl really means nothing, except the idea that it rewards those that were able to go down, no doubt, to be able to play in that, and it gives you some. It certainly gives you some respect on the national level that, hey, this is an Illinois team that's won 8 games. They're in the ReliaQuest. That's huge to play in a January bowl game. So there are, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of good with that. But I see what you're saying, because essentially in the end, if you really look at it correctly, that game really doesn't mean much. And and you can tell by the way Chase Brown and Sidney Brown and those guys didn't play, and I'm not getting into that argument. I mean, I totally can understand. I see both sides, and I totally understand more with the player that why would I want to go get hurt when I know that I've given my solid resume now to the NFL, and now I don't need one more game to prove myself. So, and then I said, listen, as a fan, I spent the money to go down there. I want to win the game. I didn't want to just be there to see Illinois run out of the tunnel and they get, you know, smoked by Mississippi State. I want to win the damn thing. Let's go. But I totally get into that stuff. But like you're saying, because for years, Minnesota would play nobody, 4-0, and then they'd get in the Big Ten and they'd somehow win, you know, total of 6 or 7 games and go to a bowl. I'm with you in this, in the sense that I was fired up last Friday for that game against Kansas, and I'm going to be fired up tomorrow against Penn State. Now, obviously, that's on your schedule, the Big Ten, so you're going to play that, but I'm with you. It's almost like the game against Kansas was almost, in a way, in a weird way, a bowl game, right? You're playing a good non-conference team, and I know Kansas has not been good, and I know Illinois hasn't been good, but they both are halfway decent this year, especially Kansas, I think, is pretty good. So to me, that was almost like, all right, we're playing Kansas in kind of an early season bowl game that all your starters are going to play in.
Right.
And so you kind of just flipped a switch in my head right there, because I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'd almost rather play a really good Kansas team, let's say this year, or a good Missouri team down the road, or even a Duke team that could be good down the road. And you almost get the reward of early in the off season, you get kind of a bowl game type of, I mean, I know the atmosphere is not the same, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. There is something to be said though, too, for having a cupcake built in there, just as a confidence builder, building game, a game you don't have to play 100% of your effort throughout 4 quarters. Like, let's be honest, Penn State's going to be, even though Illinois got an extra day of preparation, Penn State's probably the fresher team. They just played Delaware and beat the living heck out of them. Before that, they played West Virginia. They won by a handful of touchdowns. Illinois had to fight tooth and nail just to beat Toledo and then got crushed on the road at Kansas. So if Toledo, we could definitely be having this conversation the other way pretty heavily if Toledo beat you. Like if Toledo,
no doubt,
which Illinois is fortunate they did in the 4th and 4 and heave up and hope Casey Washington comes down, which thankfully he did.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden you're 0-2, and then you're playing Penn State. Then you're like, why could we not just play somebody terrible in one of these spots to get a win and make sure that we at least for the counting purposes have that? But yeah, and here comes Penn State and they look daunting.
Oh.
But I wonder how you usually err on the side of optimism. And I think a lot of fans, if you're going to especially go to the game, which I'm going to go, I think we all are going to go tomorrow, you try to convince yourself of, number one, why it's going to be a game you're going to want to watch.
Right.
And number two, the fan in you usually is like, all right, this could happen and this could happen. And all of a sudden, Illinois could win, maybe.
Well, wasn't Penn State ranked 7th when you beat them 2 years ago?
It's true.
With the barge. And you know, it's different feel going into that game because Illinois really wasn't playing for anything. I think you knew they weren't going to a bowl game. So it was just kind of more of a holy cow. I mean, I can remember I had to go pick up, where was he at? Andrew had, like, is it baseball or something? He had some kind of a practice, and I didn't even hardly watch most of that game. I had recorded it, so I went back and watched it, but I turned it on essentially driving from like Muhammad to STM, and I'm like, wait a minute. We're ahead or something, or we're going to overtime. I'm like, what is going on? So, you know, that said, I think Penn State has really pinned this season as a special one for them. I mean, they've got a 5-star quarterback. They've got a 5-star running back. They've got a stud offensive lineman. They got a stud defensive lineman. They got a great cornerback or two. So you look through that lineup, and essentially they have all Big Ten players, multiple on both sides of the ball. They're better than you. So then it comes back to this for me. I think I trust Brett Bielema and this coaching staff. I trust them to keep Illinois at least in the game. I don't think Illinois is going to win the game. And we'll give our predictions later, and maybe I'll fool you and do a Hans D on you. But I don't know. And I had someone come in the office today and like, dude, we're going to get raped. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't be shocked if I walked out of there and it's 34-14 in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, well, the beer probably kind of sounds better than watching us try to score a desperation touchdown. But I don't know that Illinois won't, just because of Coach B and getting things figured out. I mean, I loved that he came out after that Kansas game and said, we got to look at things defensively. We've got to look at things. And I know that Ryan Walters early on got beat up a little bit. I kind of jumped the gun with a tweet basically saying, is it Jim Leonard time yet? And that wasn't very nice of me to say that about Aaron Henry, because you got to give him some time. But, I mean, they looked – Kansas did whatever they wanted. Whatever they wanted. And I know that that quarterback is really fast, and I know that the running back is a senior, and they're loaded all over the place. But the fact that they're doing whatever they want against
you – They toyed with you.
That's a great opening play
where they put both quarterbacks back there with their hands up, like we both could take this snap. They were just messing with Illinois the whole game, really.
Which was weird, because you hear how who's their coach, Leipold. You hear the respect between Bielma and Leipold, and both of them basically saying, you know, we understand that Illinois is not gonna, you know, they're not gonna try to outmaneuver you in a game. They're just gonna get up and beat you up. And I respect Brett that he's gonna be prepared for anything. And then Kansas throws the kitchen sink at you right off the bat with two quarterbacks. Then they're running just, you know, off balance plays. I don't think off balance is a word in football, but you know what I'm saying. Misdirection is what I'm looking for. So you're just like, what are you guys like? Are you throwing everything at us here? But guess what? They were up 34-7. So I'm hoping, and again, it's me being way more positive or optimistic would be the better word than I should be. I think Illinois will at least make this a game tomorrow. I really do. But I don't think they'll win. I just don't think they'll win. I think it'll be one of those, like I always talk about in basketball, one of those games where you're constantly down 7 points. And in a way, in your mind, you're like, well, you know, we're within seven with 9:58 to play in this game. Well, you know what? You've been within seven the entire game, and that team isn't going to let you get any closer. It's just that simple. They're 7 points better than you. Well, I think Penn State's probably at least two touchdowns better than you. But I think Illinois can keep it at least a battle. I don't want to leave it half.
No.
We've seen
too many of those, and one of the ones that is just forever sticking in my head is that Penn State night game.
Oh.
What was it, like almost like 55-0 maybe, or something ridiculous at halftime. That was when Michael Robinson was playing quarterback for Penn State, Joe Powell on the sidelines. But I'm with you, because I don't want it to turn. It'd be a real letdown to go from that was, okay, big noon kickoff's coming. I know they're not now. But Penn State, top 10 team in the country, seems like a situation where, I mean, Coach B even said it going into this week, this should be a environment that is probably about as good, if not better, than any that has been at Memorial Stadium since he's been here. Now, I'd say Iowa last year was pretty good. There were a couple of good ones in there along the way. I mean, I would imagine the lead up to Purdue was a pretty big deal, and Illinois let down that game. But allow that crowd to get into it and to try to make them feel like there's a chance, or at least to keep it competitive. It would stink to walk out at halftime being down 30 points.
I agree.
And be like, okay. The eye test does matter. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of it too, Illinois could lose this game, beat FAU, and go to Purdue 2-2, and it'd pretty much be in line with everybody's win loss projections.
You're right.
The problem is, like, context matters. With you very well could have lost to Toledo. You were non competitive against Kansas.
Yep.
If Penn State blows you off the field, which they very well could, then you're starting to damper down a lot of people's feeling on a team that, hey, can they build a consistency of, they were an 8-win team last year. Can they come back and be able to be in the mix in a very weak and pedestrian Big Ten West? And this is, I think, from a motivation standpoint, to be able to look at Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton and be like, and just the front of that defense, for as talented as they are, for as much hype as they got in the offseason, like, it's prove it time.
I agree.
It's prove it time in terms of, like, for Keith and Johnny played well against Kansas. Keith needs to pick it up a little bit.
He played well game one, better than anybody on that line, but not as well as he can play.
Right, and I mean, Keith's talked about being a little overlooked or disrespected or whatnot. You're going to have a lot of NFL eyes on this game.
But
anytime Penn State suits it up, a chance to impact this and make Drew Aller have to beat you versus getting owned on the front. And like that's where the real, I think, harsh reality hits in is that the areas we thought Illinois would be pretty darn good, where you should be able to hang your hat, they've been very lackluster.
Agreed.
Which is really
Agreed.
The front of both sides of the ball, the defensive line, the front seven, and then also the offensive line making some holes and then protecting Luke Altmyer, which I'm worried about that tomorrow.
I am too. And I want to bring Kyle in real quick for this one as well. I know we got to catch a break here, but you just said it. I thought you said it well, Derek, in terms of the context. So here's what I would probably tell you. Illinois is going to be 2-2. That's probably, I mean, I think that's fair. I think you're not winning tomorrow, and I think you're going to beat Florida Atlantic, and you're going to be 2-2. And I think with a record like that, if I don't worry about the context of things, then here we go. We got Purdue coming up, a night game at West Lafayette. Your guy left you to go over there and take a head coaching job, which you don't, obviously, you're not mad about that. Who wouldn't do that, right, to take a head job? But I think, whoa, okay. So anyway, that then would be something that I could easily jump back in terms of motivation to get me fired up for Purdue. And I'm going to talk a little bit while you guys smile and laugh. I think, in other words, I can get fired back up for a 2-2 Illinois going to Purdue, okay? But if you then make me look at the context of it, if it happens to where you get kind of destroyed tomorrow, and then, you know, let's say you get a 17-point win over Florida Atlantic or whatever, then I think in my mind then it tells me, I don't know that we're good enough to win the West. Even though the West is probably winnable still, I don't know that anybody's blown me out in terms of just showing me stuff that I'm like, whoa, I don't know that we can compete with that team. But I think if you get blown out again tomorrow, I think in a weird way that will kind of make me think, all right, I just don't think we have what it takes to go ahead and win a West title. So it'll be weird. So in other words, like, how, if you're going to lose tomorrow, how important, this is my question, Kyle, since we're out of junior high now, my question to you is, how much does it matter? Let's say I'm telling you right now that we're going to lose the game. I'll start with you, Pipes. We're going to lose this game tomorrow. How important is it that you stay within a couple of touchdowns? Does that matter to you, or is it just a loss and you on down the road you're like, ah, we lost to Penn State, but we kind of regrouped?
I think it matters. I think the coaching staff would definitely tell you, now obviously their goal is to win the game, but what this team can put on film is going to matter in terms of making improvements, like being able to be more physical in the trenches. I mean, you might just look back on it and Penn State just has too much talent, too much ability to lean on two backs that can really hurt you.
And, yes.
But if it's a close game and you make them sweat a little bit, a talented quarterback, but making his first road start, then I think also you don't want to lose the fan base.
Right.
Like,
that's important.
Let's have a decent turnout for the FAU game.
Yes.
And then, I mean, it's Purdue's the shortest drive in the Big Ten. If you're trying to go to a Big Ten road environment, it would be nice to have some orange show up at Ross A to face Purdue and just keep a little bit of excitement. No one's going to be, you know, buzzing in the tailgate lot. Hey, they lost by 10. Aren't we fired up?
Yes.
But they covered the spread that we can't bet on here in Illinois. But yeah, I just think that progress in any areas where you've got some glaring holes right now.
Yes.
Like if they're able to be more competitive in the run game, you're going to be excited about that, so on and so forth, picking out different things to make a competitive football game against a team that a lot of, like, nationally going into the year, a lot of people said, don't be surprised if Penn State shows up in the playoff.
I agree.
They could be that kind of team to where even losing to them in a competitive fashion can help you take the steps towards having the
yes.
the type of season you want going in. So I think that really does matter.
And Kyle, before you answer, that would be interesting if Illinois got near the end of the season where it still had a chance of winning the West, let's say. And we look back at that point and say, hey, Penn State has a chance to win the East. They're this good. Kansas has continued to roll in the Big 12. They're that good. And Toledo hasn't lost yet. And yeah. You could look back and say, man, we were freaking out after 3 weeks, which I think because we came in with really high expectations. That's what last year did. It gave you high expectations, especially when the law firm came back. the question mark of, okay, how good's Altmaier going to be? And he's been really good. So it's like, well, wait a minute. I thought that was going to be a key to us winning games. And you know, and if you're 1-2 and you've lost one game where you were down 34-7 and then Penn State beat you by 3 touchdowns, I think at the end of the season, we might look back at that and say, guys, I don't care how good we weren't going to be 3-0. Not with that run of games that we were playing against those teams. I mean, because those teams have gone on to have big years. I just think I'm a believer in Kansas for sure.
Yeah.
I'm a believer with Toledo playing a max schedule, and I'm probably going to be a believer in Penn State. Now, I don't know if they can beat Michigan or Ohio State, but I don't know why they couldn't. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that we talked about earlier in the week, Coach Bielema, he's been a little feisty in the media this week.
Has he?
And another thing that he's kind of said, he's like, I'm kind of amazed at all the, like, woe is me comments around this team. I think he's talking about reporters and fans and everything. Like, just the jarring reaction of kind of what Illinois has looked like so far. But while he can say that, like, if they go out and get dump trucked by Penn State, don't think that is at least going to be a back of the mind thing going on in the locker room. Like, they can sit here and say everything's going to be okay, it's early, what have you. If that defense once again looks like Swiss cheese and doesn't have any physicality in the front, they can't sit there and say that, you know, we're going to get back to last year's level. That defense will look so unrecognizable to what it was last year. And I'm not expecting to be last year's defense because you had three pros getting picked in the first couple of rounds. But I think from a psychological standpoint and just kind of a confidence internally, I think that's why a competitive football game tomorrow could matter that much.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Kyle.
What do you think, Kyle?
What's up, Kyle?
I've got like Bob Marley in my head going, everything's going to be all right. I'm going to listen to that song on the way home Saturday night going, I don't know, Bob. Maybe if I had what you had.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, Kyle, sorry.
Hey, it's legal.
Yeah, for me, it's
right.
For me, it's really just about seeing improvement in this game because I think it's less so about a certain score or what the record is. It's just the way they've looked the first 2 weeks. I mean, like Derek said earlier, you needed a prayer on 4th-and-4 to beat Toledo at home, which is not what we expected coming into the season. We knew it would be a tough game, but you're lucky to win that one. You just get absolutely blown out. Like, even the late rally against Kansas, it made it closer than it was. Illinois got dominated on that field. So I need to see a post-Virginia 2021 type of transformation, some real change being made here to rebuild my confidence heading into that Purdue game. I think it's less about the fact that they'd be 2-2 and we predicted 2-2 and more about the fact that they've looked really poor and they've looked uncompetitive in a lot of these games, and that's got to change for me to have the same good vibes, good feelings heading into the rest of the year.
Especially going in, you know, when you're going to be down the road playing Iowa or playing Wisconsin. You know, that I want that feel back after tomorrow of, oh, yeah, you know, look, we pushed Penn State. There's no reason why we can't beat Iowa or Wisconsin or this or that. I do have a bone to pick with Coach B. So who's the kid from SIU that they picked up, like the safety that's had to play, I think, quite a bit?
Clayton Bush.
That's it. So Bielema made this, like, comment about, I don't know if it was before the season or maybe after the first game or something, where he said, it's too bad I haven't had a chance to coach him for his career because I'd have him in the NFL. And I sat there and I'm like, yeah, don't you rip on my dogs like that, dude. We just went up and beat Northern Illinois. Like, we exceeded expectations in beating a D1 school. Don't you be ripping on my guy down there. Don't you be – well, let's see it then. Let's see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not rip. I mean,
I remember that comment. I forgot who – I didn't remember who he made it about, but he did. It was like he's pretty
– he is like that. Whatever you're thinking.
Confident,
or trying to,
brash. I mean, you heard a lot about that, like, when he was at Wisconsin. He's probably dialed down maybe a little bit from that, but still, he's...
Well, listen, I can't argue with the idea that they brought Devin Witherspoon a guy that had 0 stars to a number 5 pick in the NFL draft. But I love Coach B. I really do, and I think that he does develop guys. But I just thought that was kind of an under. That was just kind of cut at my dogs. And I'm like, we got a pretty damn good coach down there. And SIU's football program has been pretty good for a while. And we just went and beat Northern Illinois, which is a heck of a win for SIU. So, yeah, I don't know. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way when he said that. Yeah,
I don't blame you.
Now, if that would have been about an Illinois State guy or a Western Illinois guy, I would have just let it go under the bridge.
Fair game.
I'm like, you should rip on my dogs.
If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We'll talk more about this matchup coming up on Saturday. Give our predictions before we get out of here. We'll play the drink button because, of course, it is a Friday. And we've got some audio from earlier in the week to hit you with, some Jay Layman thoughts. Daniel Gallen from Lions 24/7 weighed in on the Nittany Lions side of things. We're going to be able to get you some of that as we go along. Also, Kenny Battle was among the 2023 class Illini Hall of Fame that is going to be inducted tonight over at State Farm Center. I was able to talk to him earlier this afternoon. We can play some of that audio. I know Rashard Mendenhall, Jack Trudeau, among the others that are in that class as well.
Awesome.
So we'll get you some Kenny Battle before we get out of here.
Oh, and Lance Ringler real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So Lance Ringler, he just happened to text me the other day a picture of all the Illinois gears right when I landed in Indy. And I'm like, where are you at? And he said he was helping out small at the Olympia Fields. And, you know, Illinois went out and won their first tournament. And I'm like, how are we winning with, I don't know, Mike Small is unbelievable. So I just thought we don't have to keep Lance on very long, but I want to ask him like how improbable Illinois winning that first tournament was, and then get a kind of an idea of what's going on up at Olympia Fields, because there are a lot of ranked good golf teams going on right now in Illinois' event. So we'll just talk to him real quick. 4:25. Sure. I told him, I said, we got to end the show with football. So I said, we'll get you on for like 10 minutes, get a quick sneak at Illinois golf, and then we'll hammer them further down as we go along, as they continue probably to impress us. You know they will.
Absolutely. Shout out to our new listeners down in Florida.
Yeah.
Lon was expanding the reach, and I just wanted to get that out there. We're due for a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk more Illinois-Penn State when we return. This is The Drive.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment, offering sound advice and actionable insight. Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. Busey Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Hey, it's Stevie J. Time for another Stever. The Stever program is where I give you my money and you keep and use the stuff. All right, today from Merle Norman. All right, Merle Norman is, I mean, unbelievably great when it comes to makeup and your skin. Maryland will help you. Now, here's what the offer is. I'm going to give you a free color analysis, and I'll give you $100 to buy makeup from Merle Norman, made right here in America. In fact, made in Los Angeles. Maryland is so good at what she does. So if you would like my $100 bill and a free color analysis from Merle Norman, all you have to do is go to GoStever.com. GoStever.com and click accept. That's all you have to do. You have to make an appointment within 7 days, and then you have to fill out my survey as to how they did, how you liked working with Marilyn. Okay, Merle Norman, our Stever offer. GoStever.com, click accept. You'll get an email later on, late afternoon or evening, if you win. Rooting for you. GoStever.com, click accept. For Merle Norman.
Join Urbana Park District for Climate Action Week, October 1st through 8th. We all can help take care of the environment. Be sure to join us at Crystal Lake Park Saturday, October 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. for a celebration of the environment that will feature live music, guided hikes, and more in partnership with the Champaign County Climate Coalition. Call 217-384-4062 for more information or follow the Park District on Facebook and Twitter.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases.
Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Big Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, get the whole store.
The Blossom Basket Florist has been in business since 1954. In the last 25 years, the Blossom Basket Florist has processed over 535,000 orders. That's 21,400 orders per year. With that type of volume, they know they have satisfied customers who just keep coming back. Find out why their customers love their designs and customer service. From simple to simply magnificent, they can design for any type of event. Visit them at 1002 North Cunningham in Urbana or online at blossombasket.com.
Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get five bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. It's $5 for Blue Moon Drafts and Jack Daniels drinks. Murder your thirst with Liquid Death Water and CBD products. Pia's is the place to party, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less. By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey, I got to tell you about Busey. Busey is proud to give back to its communities by doing the right thing for customers and building trusted relationships that span generations. In 2021 and 2022, Busey Associates generally gave over 20,000 hours of their time to hundreds of community organizations. Nearly 200 associates actively commit to board service in their communities. Since the inception of Busey scholarship programs and partnerships with local universities, get this, Busey has contributed $285,000 in scholarships throughout its footprint. For more information about Busey's volunteer initiatives and charitable campaigns, check out Busey's 2022 Impact Report. And of course, to set up an appointment to talk finances with those over there at the convenient locations at Busey, to do online banking, all that you need to know, Busey.com. And to get that impact report, it is visitbusey.com/impact. Busey, member FDIC.
I'm member.
Back on the drive with Tane Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Oh, Kyle, you got to hit another song in there. Like right at the end of Busey, you got to hit like that intro because that gets me fired up.
My bad.
It gets me fired up to say something that Mom just texted me.
What's that?
As I interrupt Derek, she said, "I'm really excited today to listen to you and Derek, and I can't think of his name." Yes. Poor Kyle.
We were right, Kyle. We talked yesterday. We were like, "Do we miss Lon?" And Kyle's like, "Yeah, kind of."
Kind of.
Like, but he's gonna. I was like, he's going to say.
I knew as soon as he'd come back, I was going to take.
He's going to say mean things to you.
A couple shots my way.
Now my mom is going to kill me for that. I'm sorry, Kyle.
It's okay.
Thank you for filling in for me. I do appreciate that. All right, I'll shut up.
No, actually, we need you to talk because we're on the air. So as we look at Penn State, let's focus on Drew Aller. And we had Daniel Gallen earlier in the week break down the difference between Penn State now that they have a higher ceiling quarterback. We'll see what that looks like in terms of his consistency over a full season. He is going on the road. You hope that if you're going to build a case for why Illinois can make this game sweaty for Penn State or possibly even pull the upset, you would hope that it is a defensive scheme that is a little confusing for a young quarterback, that puts some pressure on him, that's aggressive, and the fact of Illinois' front seven finally being as stout in the run game as we hoped going into the year. So, but then again, he poses some challenges because he was the number one quarterback in his class coming out of high school. Let's listen back, in case you missed it, Daniel Gallen, Lions 24/7, explaining what Drew Aller brings to this Nittany Lions team.
I think the first thing you notice is just the way the ball comes out of his hand. Like, he throws lasers. I mean, watching him throw an out to the field side is just really, really impressive. You know, the arm strength really is as advertised. But the one thing that I think has stood out to a lot of people through these first couple of weeks is just his patience and his ability to move in the pocket while keeping his eyes downfield. You know, his first touchdown pass to Keandre Lambert-Smith against West Virginia, he's, you know, navigating the pocket, moving up, and eventually hits him for 72-yard touchdown. He had another play later in that game, this nice completion over the middle to Harrison Wallace, where I think almost any other quarterback that I've seen in the past would have taken off running. And he's about to cross the line of scrimmage and just stops on a dime and throws it downfield. I mean, I think that his eyes are always up. You know, he's looking for his receivers downfield, and there's really only been one throw this year where you said, oh, that's trouble. And that was that pass got broken up by Keandre Lambert-Smith. You know, probably would have been an interception. But I just think that Drew Aller has just been so solid, so confident, and just so poised through these first 2 weeks.
Lon, you know how I love completion percentage.
Yes, you do.
Drew Aller through 2 weeks. He has played West Virginia, a solid Power 5 program, but then Delaware. But 43 for 55, that's 78% completion.
Goodness sakes.
529 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. I think it was 3 of those 4 touchdowns coming in the West Virginia game. So a guy that is talented. Keandre Lambert-Smith in particular is a receiver you're going to have to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an offense that's going to lean on the run game as much as possible when you have that duo of backs.
I'm watching video of him right now. I've never watched a video of Drew Aller. How do you say it?
Aller.
Oh, Aller. So I'm watching it, and I'm noticing, I know that you had mentioned before break about how, or even going into the soundbite about how Illinois, it'd be nice to get, no, I was at break. We were talking about how Jay Layman had mentioned how we got to get some pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching some of these clips of him, and he gets rid of the ball so fast. Like, he sees somebody coming, and it's just like, gone. And like your guy just said, he throws lasers. So this is going to be one of those where, and I, you know, it's just one of those two where I'm sure, you know, he's getting the blocking he needs up front, and he's going to have guys that are wide open. I mean, if that Kansas game shows you anything, Kansas was running just guys across the middle, going running everywhere, essentially, and they were wide open. And I don't know if that was more of a zone issue that Illinois was running. And I mean, it looked like Lovie's defense where everything was, everybody was open by 5 feet. And it's like, this isn't going to be fun. So, yeah, this could be a problem tomorrow, especially with him. If he can just pick you apart methodically down the field and then hit that one big receiver whenever he needs to for a big play. So, yeah, it's going to be worrisome. Now that I've watched video of him, I'm like, oh, yikes, I wish I wouldn't have turned that on.
I'm glad you did mention that Jay Layman clip, because we do have Jay from earlier in the week talking about what it's going to take for Illinois defensively and what he hopes to see as far as the aggression and going up against the young quarterback.
I think we got to find a way to manufacture pressure on the quarterback. We have not had the pressure that we were accustomed to last year. We were able to get pressure by rushing, you know, 4 or 5 people last year. We were only sixth in the Big Ten in sacks, but we had a ton of pressures, right? And we led the nation in interceptions, so we were affecting the quarterback. I don't feel like we're affecting the quarterback at the level we need to create turnovers and negative plays. I think we've got to manufacture pressure with blitzes. I think we've got to play some more games up front because I think Gabe Akis and Seth Coleman are more athletic than they are just bull rushers. Although Gabe is a man child, I feel like he has a strength of being able to be mobile. I think we've got to mix up our front. I think we're not the biggest front. We're certainly a very athletic front, I would say, right? And if we have an athletic front, let's use more movement. Let's get pressure on the quarterback. Are we going to give up some plays? Yes. But I'd rather have the ball out in 3 seconds than 5 seconds and him going to his third or fourth option and hitting a pass down the field.
Mm. Wow, I just did the Jay Layman. Mm. That makes a lot of sense what he's saying. And I understand in terms of stunts and such up front where you see, you know, you'll see an end go inside the tackle to get to the quarterback. I think things like that are I think he's right because I don't know that they're getting the kind of play they need out of their nose tackle. And I think they're still kind of searching for that. I think Edwards is probably your better option there, but they're still kind of searching for that. And certainly, I don't feel like we've seen what we need to out of Seth Coleman and Gabe Akis. I think everybody will agree with that. And not that anybody on that front line, you know, that defensive line doesn't need to take a little bit of a hit here when we talk about them. But I could see where Jay's going there. Just let's try to confuse them a little bit. I mean, Aller is a younger quarterback, so maybe try to confuse them a little bit with what you're doing. I mean, that might be easier said than done, though.
Yeah.
If he's getting the kind of protection he needs, and Jay's right, if he gets rid of the ball in 3 seconds, it's not as far down the field of a pass, right? Unless you've got some burner. But most of the time, that might be only a 7 or 8 yard gain, which is very productive for Penn State and can lead to a long drive for a touchdown. But yeah, I'm with you. I get him a little bit of some happy feet if you can, but we'll see. I mean, I'd have to see it before I believe it.
Right, yeah, it's going to definitely start with, number one, you got to put them in passing situations. Like, you're not going to be able have that play to your advantage if you're giving up 6, 7, 8 yard chunks in the run game. So that's kind of where it's going to start. Not that you can't, you know, stack the box and run blitz them too. I think that you're going to need that to fill those gaps and get more people in the box. Now, that's pressure on those outside corners and one-on-one matchups. And we did see a couple of PIs from Taz Nicholson. I think it was in that Toledo game that –
that's right.
You need him to step up and play well. And it is a risk to have an inexperienced secondary kind of playing in more island coverage. It was easy to say, all right, Devin Witherspoon, you're one of the best corners in the country. let's ride with that, Sid, you know, on down the line.
Yep.
But, I definitely want to see variety in terms of what the play calls look like, to err on the side of aggression. I mean, this is one of those – really nothing to lose spots.
Agree.
Defensively. And we know that Aaron Henders even said, you know, I got to figure out what adjustments to make. We're kind of opening things up in terms of new ideas and whatnot to try to search within ourselves to find a good game plan because what we've done so far hasn't worked. And I do think that being aggressive is one way to go with it instead of just kind of sitting in zone and slowly but surely letting Penn State work their way down the field.
Would you rather get beat by Penn State, Kyle, you can jump in, by the pass or the run? Because you know they've got two talented backs that could easily both be over 100 yards. I mean, the starter is a five-star guy. The second one would start in most any Big Ten school, probably. And you can tell I haven't done my homework this week sitting on a beach. I had all the time in the world to sit there and look at all the Penn State names, but I just didn't. Would you rather them just chunk you with big yards of on the run, on the rush? Would that worry you more? Or would it be you do okay against the rush and then they just kind of chunk you with pass plays? I know neither is good, but what would you rather be watching tomorrow? Because it's frustrating when all of a sudden a quarterback drops back and he throws to a guy that's in space and they gain 19 yards, and you're just kind of sitting in your seat going, well, how did that happen? But there again, you know, if they're running for 7, 8 yards every carry, then it almost makes you feel so inferior. Like they're just basically telling us that we're going to run right down your throat, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what's frustrating to me. So I think I'd rather it be by the pass, if you ask me. But what would you guys – and what's the better thing for Illinois?
Kyle, go ahead.
I would much rather get beat by the pass. I want to make Drew Aller win this game for Penn State. It's his first true road start as a starter. He's a younger quarterback. I'd rather stack the box and try to shut down that run game and make him make throws. I know you have a lot of questions in the secondary, but I'm willing to kind of get back to what you were doing last year and really try to, you know, whether it's blitzing or whether it's just different pressure packages to try to force Drew Aller into mistakes and leaving your secondary kind of in man coverage. And if they get beat, they get beat.
You
need to do something and give yourself some type of chance. I also just think if you let Penn State run it down your throat, they're going to be on the field for seven, 8 minute possessions and just grind you out, and you're never going to be in the game. You need to get your defense off the field. I'd much rather make Drew Aller make plays and win the game.
Be dominant at one thing.
Yeah, and I'm full in agreement. I think in terms of a building block going forward, why not? You're never going to have – I don't see this secondary being such a strength where you're going to say, well, they took away the pass from Penn State. Or really, I don't think Penn State's going to feel the need to pass if they let you – you know, if you let them just completely make hay on the ground. I think that if you can put them in passing situations and just like we've talked about, be aggressive. And, hey, if Drew Aller – throws one down the field and you get one-on-one, you get beat that way, you give up a couple of big plays, fine, whatever.
I agree.
It'll be okay in terms of long-term. Now, yes, you're going to see Hudson Card in a couple of weeks, and he's a guy that can sling it around. But for the most part, I just think that we went into this season thinking that stuffing the run was something this team could really do. And if they go ahead and just get smashed in the face by another running attack, like Kansas should not have ran for 200-plus against you.
No.
Daquan Finn was able to escape, but that was just – Illinois should have had a better game plan for a dual-threat quarterback.
Yep.
You got to be able to win up front. When you have, like, two NFL guys, like, you got to take advantage of that.
Exactly. Somebody asked why no Pias today. Well, Derek Piper did not pay his bill.
Didn't.
So they told us that he's got another week to pay the bill, and then we can go for the Florida Atlantic game. So – Pipes, I think we're going to be there next Friday because you said you were going to go up there today, right?
Yeah.
Pay that,
if tonight, if Air Force covers 9.
And for the one person out there that believes me, I'm kidding. No, we're going to be at Pia's next Friday.
Yeah.
And I know we got to take a break because Kyle's looking at us mean.
We're due for a break. I did see some 217 texted in some thrilling news about the Cardinals.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
drink.
I didn't expect to talk baseball today. It's throwing me off. We got to catch a break. When we return, Lance Ringler will join us next hour to talk Illini golf. We'll talk more about this Illinois-Penn State matchup, give our predictions before we get out of here. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com. Starting it over is what we do
at Max Twin City Recycling. BC Bank. Leading the way to your financial wellness. No matter where your financial journey begins, Pathways Banking options at BC are designed with your goals in mind. BC Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Does your home have those annoying outdoor spigots that leak and have no pressure? Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing can help. Install a new Woodford outdoor spigot so your gardens and flowers don't suffer in this summer heat. Make sure your home's outdoors look great and call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5.